our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 339. 339 and the page 313 is a great hymn of testimony. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart, shadows dispelling, and with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. 339 in the page 313, standing as we sing, and let us sing it out with all of our hearts. Well, we just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we bow before Thee this evening hour. We come to Thee in and through the Savior's precious and worthy name, in the name of Thy Son, the Son of God who loved us, who gave Himself for us, a ransom for our sins upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight for Christ's atoning death, that Christ died for our sins, that He paid the debt of our sin in full. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He bore upon Himself the wrath of God that was our due, that we rightly deserve for our sins. Yet Thy word declares that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ has loved us with an everlasting love. And Father, we thank Thee that He died for us, He rose again. And Father, we thank Thee that in heaven He's praying for us as the people of God. And Father, tonight we thank Thee that we can rejoice as Thy people in Thy so great salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, for this hymn of testimony of which we've been singing. And Father, we thank Thee for that day and hour and our own experience when Thou didst speak to us, when Thou didst open our eyes to see our need of Christ, when Thou didst cause us to see our need as a lost, guilty sinner before God. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou had mercy upon us. Thou didst not leave us to our sins. Thou didst not give us our just reward for our sins. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that Thou hast been merciful, Thou hast been gracious, and Thou hast given us grace, O God, to call upon Thy name and to seek Thee, Lord, for salvation. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight as Thy people in the joy and the knowledge of our sins forgiven. We rejoice, O God, tonight that our sins are under the blood. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the great truth of the gospel, that the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And, O God, we rejoice that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And, Father, we thank Thee for that hope that we have, that blessed hope that is secure and steadfast, that we have a mansion in the glory as Thy people. We thank that we're kept in the Father's hand, and that none can pluck us out of Thy hand. And Father, we rejoice that Thou art our Father in heaven, who cares for us, who loves us, who watches over us, who knows our needs, who provides our needs, who orders our steps day by day. And Father, we give Thee praise and we give Thee thanks for every token of the love and the favor and the mercy of God. And Lord, we just pray that Thou wilt bless our coming together here tonight in Thy house. And we realize it is Thy presence that makes the feast. And Lord, from this opening hymn to the last amen, we pray that Thou wilt draw near. Do cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's blood from all sin. Fill us afresh, O God, each one with Thy Holy Spirit. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us here tonight, we pray. And Lord, shut us in with Thyself. Take away every distraction and every care that is not of Thee. Bless us, O God, around Thy precious word, and speak to our hearts and minister to our hearts and to our needs through Thy word and through Thy truth, we pray. And Father, bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank that we can call upon Thee in every time of need. And we rejoice, O God, tonight. And we thank Thee, Lord, that with this confidence as Thy people, that Thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. Bless our time together tonight, we pray. And may we go home at the close of this meeting, knowing, O God, we've met with Thee, and knowing the blessing of God afresh within our hearts, saying of a truth it was good to be here, for here we met with Thee, our God and our Savior. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for all who've been able to gather tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Meet the need of every life. Bless every family, Lord, that is represented. Bless our homes and our families, and do unite them all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant that in our homes that we would know much of the presence and the blessing of God day by day. We pray for those that are unable to join with us tonight. Minister to their needs, those that are sick, those that are aged and infirm who can no longer attend Thy house. Minister to them, bless them by the grace of God divine. Remember others tonight who mourn, have suffered loss in recent times. Lord, comfort their hearts, we pray. Pray for especially for Sister Joan, that Thou would be near her at this time and her family circle, and that Thou would give comfort and grace and strength by the Spirit of the Lord, we pray. Remember, Lord, those also tonight who would listen in online, whoever they are, wherever they are tonight, Lord, draw near to them and minister grace upon grace to their needs and to their hearts, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the meeting tonight in Kresna. Bless all the boys and girls, we pray. And Father, we pray that Thou would speak on to these young lives, that early and young in life, each one of these children would be saved. Bless the homes from which they come from and lead them in the ways of the Lord. Again, we return Thee thanks for the time of gospel missioning. We thank Thee for Thy presence and blessing with us night by night. We thank Thee for the outreach as well before and all the literature that was given out around this community. And Lord, bless the printed page. Bless the preached word, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that there will be much fruit from the outreach, much fruit from the preaching of Thy word, even in the days that lie ahead, in the salvation of sinners, in the sanctifying of saints, and in the glorifying of Thy name. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Bless our brethren, Noel and Colin, there in that mission in Balnahinch in this second week. Pour out Thy Spirit. And Lord, give Thy servants souls for their hire. And Lord, visit there with mercy and with grace. Lord, we thank Thee that we're in the day of glad tidings. We thank Thee for all the special efforts in the gospel across our land, north and south of the border in recent times. And Lord, bless that word that has been sown. May there be a bountiful harvest. Draw near now, we pray. Bless our hearts around Thy word. Quicken us and help us to call upon Thy name and glorify the Savior and all that will be said and done amongst us this night. We pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Turning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 390, 390 in your hymn books, another wonderful hymn of testimony. Dear Savior, Thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me, let me repeat Thy name and lift my heart to Thee. The hymn number 390 in the page 334, sounding again as we sing.
Thank you.
bless those tremendous words to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here tonight. We bid you a very special warm word of welcome in the name of the Savior. We pray the Lord will bless you tonight afresh around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Welcome also those who may be joining with us online. We thank you for taking that time to gather with us also around God's word. And we pray the Lord will bless you and draw near and meet your need through his word and to his truth tonight. We're going to turn, please, to the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning a reading there at the verse 22 of the chapter. Do remember, please, the meetings over the week. Friday night, the children's meeting, 6:30. And then the youth are going down to Clare Valley on Friday evening, meeting here in the car park at 7:30. Pray for the youth as they gather down there in Clare Valley around God's word. Do please pray for the services on the Lord's Day as well. Plan to join with us Sunday school, Bible class, on the Lord's Day morning, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. We belong to minister God's word. And do please pray for the Consider Christ outreach as well on Saturday. And there's, a team of about 48 or so going down to Mullingar. Pray for traveling mercies. Pray that God will bless the literature that would be given out. And then we're having a follow-up meeting on Monday night, God willing, in the Newbury Hotel. So pray for that, especially that people will gather in and that God's hand of blessing would be upon it. Just one other announcement. The Beulah Christian Bookshop from Newcastle are having a book table in the Clare Valley Free Presbyterian Church Hall on Saturday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. If you want to buy any Christmas presents, whatever, early, well, that's the time to do it. But understand they'll have a considerable book table there on Saturday afternoon, and you're free there to go and browse and purchase if you so wish. So do remember that also, please. Lamentations chapter 3, and verse number 22 of the chapter. Lamentations chapter 3 and the verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 36. May God add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. A little text of scripture I want us just to look at before we get down to prayer are the final words there of verse 24. The last four words of that verse, it simply says, his compassions fail not. Now, the beginning of Lamentation chapter 3 really depicts the calamities that befell Jeremiah, the faithful prophet and faithful servant of the Lord. However, the latter part of Lamentations chapter 3 really shows to us the great hope of Jeremiah in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his calamities and difficulties that came his way in life. And Jeremiah's hope is sustained really by his confidence in the mercies of God toward him. And he speaks of God's mercies in particular at the beginning of verse 22, where we commenced our Bible reading this evening. He says there, it is of the Lord's mercies We are not consumed. Notice in particular that word consumed. That word consumed literally means finished. And what is Jeremiah telling us here? He's really saying, but for God's mercies, Jeremiah would have been finished. His life, his witness, his testimony, his service for the Lord would have ended a long time ago. That's really what he's saying there when he says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, that we are not finished. And the reason for the Lord being so merciful to Jeremiah was all due to the Lord's love and the Lord's compassion toward Jeremiah himself. And Jeremiah focuses upon that great truth in the words of our text when he goes on here to speak of the Lord in the latter part of verse 22, when he says of the Lord, because his compassions fail not. Yes, the source of God's mercies towards Jeremiah was God's great love toward him. And just as the Lord loved Jeremiah, his servant, his child, of many years ago in the Old Testament time, so the Lord also loves all his people. You think tonight of the Apostle Paul, described in the Scriptures as the chief of sinners, and he could say of Christ, his Savior, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul never lost sight of the love of God and Christ toward him. Again, you think of what the hymn writer said, speaking of the Lord and the Lord's love toward them. They could say, the love that Jesus had for me is more than tongue can tell. And likewise, dear believer, in the meeting tonight, you and I also, we are the objects of the Lord's great love and the Lord's great compassion. And my, it is indeed this wonderful thought of the Lord's compassion towards his people that I want us to think about and to consider for a little while this evening. Yes, throughout life, the love of relations, the love of family, the love of friends, the love of neighbors may fail. But the compassions of the Lord, they never fail. That's the great truth here stated in our text when it says of the Lord, his compassions fail not. There's many things in this life that fail, but one thing that never fails is the Lord's love and the Lord's compassion toward his people. That being the case, I want us just to note some of the ways in particular that the Lord is compassionate toward his people. First of all, we can say tonight that the Lord's compassion has meant the pardon of all our sins. It has meant the pardon of all our sins. Listen to the testimony of David and Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Further on down that psalm in verse 14, he says of the Lord, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. There David testifies of the Lord, yes, knowing about the infirmity of his frame, knowing about the infirmity of his sinful nature. But he also tells there in that psalm how the Lord had forgiven all of his sin, pardoned all of his iniquity. And dear child of God, it's the same with you and I also. Yes, the Lord knows all about us. He knows our frame. He knows our sinful nature. And because of our sin, yes, we were condemned to a lost eternity in hell. We were under the sentence of divine wrath and divine condemnation because of our sin. But in knowing our need as lost sinners, what did God do? God in love provided. He made a way for us to be saved, a way of salvation from sin. And that way was through the atoning death and sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Turn in your Bible, please, over to John's Gospel and to the chapter number 3. John's Gospel and the chapter number 3. And look at what is said there in those great verses of verse 16 and verse 17 of John chapter 3. It says, for God so loved the world. In other words, Christian, God so loved you and I. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How great, how wonderful is the love of God toward us, in sending Christ down from the realms of glory, down into this sin-cursed world, to go all the way to the cross of Calvary, a cross of agony and ignominy and shame and sorrow and pain. When he was nailed to that Roman cross, and God the Father then poured out his wrath upon him, when Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What was it all for? That you and I could be saved from our sins, know our sins forgiven. Oh, as the hymn writer says, Jesus paid it all. The Bible speaks to you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ and says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The Bible tells us of Christ that through this man is preached unto you that the forgiveness of sins. Christian, this is something to rejoice in tonight. This is something that causes a hallelujah in our souls. Believer, through faith and the atoning blood of Christ, God has forgiven all your sins. Blotted them out, cast them into the sea of his forgiveness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Believer, you can say with the hymn writer of old, the dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day, and there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Yes, we see the love of God in Christ in the forgiveness of all of our sins. Yes, the Lord's compassion has meant the pardon of all of our sins. But then secondly, we can say further that the Lord's compassion means that he sanctifies our sorrows and he soothes our griefs. You think of what the apostle says of Christ in Hebrews chapter 4 in the verse number 15. He says there, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And what does those words mean? Those words mean that the Lord is touched when his people are touched. The Lord is touched whenever his people sorrow. The Lord is touched whenever his people grieve. Christ himself emphasized that truth in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 verse 40 when he said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And when the Lord's people are touched, the Lord is touched. Yes, the Lord is touched when we are touched. Therefore, he is able to comfort us. He is the sympathizing Savior. He is not hard-hearted or austere, as we might say of someone, no. He is the sympathizing Jesus. He is the sinner's friend. He is able to comfort us in our griefs, and not only comfort us in our griefs, but draw us closer to himself in our time of need and in our time of care. You turn back there to Psalm number 71, and you'll see here this was the case with the psalmist. Psalm number 71, look at verse 21. Look at what he says there about the Lord in verse 21 of Psalm 71. He says, thou shalt increase my greatness. And notice these words, and comfort me on every side. The psalmist knew the comfort of the Lord in his time of need. Again, in Psalm 61, verse 2, he could say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Think of what it means to be overwhelmed. It means to be engulfed by some trouble, some sorrow, some grief, some burden, some trial. Yet in the midst of it all, David says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Believer in Christ in our meeting tonight, is your heart cast down in this meeting? Is your heart weary? Is there grief in your heart, care in your heart over some trial? Then I encourage you tonight, dear believer, look afresh to the Lord for comfort. Pray for the Lord's comfort. Think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is known to us as the comforter, the one who comes alongside us in our need. Pray that the Lord would draw you closer to himself in your time of need. Pray that the Lord himself would draw nearer to you as his child. The Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Think of that, the Lord of glory, Lord of eternity. He pities you and I as his children. As a loving parent comforts its grieving child, so the Lord, through his infinite compassion, dear child of God, can comfort you and I and can sustain you and I, in a much greater way than any earthly parent can do with its child. The Lord's compassion means the pardon of all our sins. It means that he sanctifies our sorrows and soothes our griefs. But we can say further tonight that the Lord's compassion, it means our restoration and his guidance in our life. You think of what David testified in Psalm 23 in verse number 3. He says there of the Lord, he restoreth my soul. Again in that same psalm, he could say of the Lord, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. In Psalm 25, verse 9, he says, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. There David testifies of the Lord's restoring touch in his life. And he testifies of the Lord's guiding hand in his life. And that was all a token of the Lord's love, the Lord's compassion toward him. When David erred and strayed away from the Lord did not forget him or forsake him or fail him or cast him off. No. We read those tremendous words in our Bible reading tonight there in verse 31 where it says, the Lord will not cast off forever. He cannot cast off his people. No. That is something God can never do. It says there in verse 32 of Lamentations 3, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And in the multitude of the Lord's mercies, David knew the restoring touch of God. David knew the guiding hand of God in his life. And my, such is the Lord's compassion. He does not leave his people. He does not leave them as orphans in this world. Does not leave his people to wander aimlessly in this world. Yes, when we go astray, he draws us back to himself. He says, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. And when we need direction for our life, he promises guidance. His word says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. And my, his restoring touch in our lives, his guidance throughout life, it's all a sign, it's a proof, it's an evidence, a token of his great love and compassion toward us. Yes, it has rightly been said that God always provides light through every one of his tunnels. And God leads us along as his children, along life's journey. It's all a token of compassion. But then finally we can say tonight that the Lord's compassion means that he will one day receive us into heaven. One day receive us into heaven. Turning your Bible over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Go down to the end of that chapter and here Paul is writing and speaking specifically to God's people, assuring the saints of God, those who are saved, that they will all be safely gathered into heaven. When Christ returns, not one will be left. Those that have died in Christ and those that are alive will be caught up and will be together forever with the Lord in glory. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, and others not hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice those words, and so shall we. That's every child of God, every blood-bought saint of God. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Here Paul is seeking to comfort the believers in Thessalonica. And in doing so, he tells them that when the Lord comes back again, both the dead in Christ, the living believers will be taken into eternal glory of heaven to be forever with the Lord. Amen. And child of God, such is the Lord's compassion. He will not allow you and I to perish in hell. Though all hell rage against us, He will not allow us to perish. Rather, one day, believer, Christ will welcome you into heaven. Believer, this world is not our home. This world is but our place of pilgrimage. Heaven is our home. Heaven's mansion is a place that we're bound for, and it's all a token of the compassion and the love of God toward us in Christ. You just turn the chapter over there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just go over to the next chapter. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 10 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, "For God have not appointed us to wrath." And Paul here speaking to the Christian, "but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep," notice it, "we shall live together with Him." The saints of God together with Christ around the throne of Christ in glory. Turn the page over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go down to verse 16 of that chapter and you see the same truth again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16. It says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God," notice it, "even our Father," and look at these words, "which have loved us," that's His compassion, "and have given us," this is something He has given, He has bequeathed to us, this is our will, our inheritance in Christ, "and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." What is that good hope? It's heaven, it's glory. And it's all through grace. It's all through the love and the compassion of God toward us in Christ. What a consolation we have as Christians. What a hope through grace. The hope of heaven where we shall be forever with Christ, with the saints of God in heaven. And we shall be forever like Christ. We'll be made perfect in heaven like unto Christ. The hymn writer says, safe upon the ever-shining shore, sin, pain, and death, and sorrow all are o'er, happy now and evermore washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the inheritance of the saints of God. Believer, that's your inheritance. That's your prize. That's your hope. Believer, because of the compassions of our God in Christ, one day faith will give way to sight. It will give way to the sight of glory, the sight of heaven, the sight of Christ in heaven. And this shall be our eternal portion. This shall be, as it says in the Scriptures, our everlasting consolation. Oh, rejoice tonight, dear Christian, in the compassions of Christ. Our text says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Whatever happens in life, dear Christian, whatever comes your way, whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever burden, His compassions, they fail not. Let us rejoice in the compassion of Christ toward us day by day. Let us thank God for His compassions tonight in prayer. Let us seek by our life and by our words and by our testimony to tell others of what we have in Christ, and to encourage others, to invite others to the same wonderful banquet, this eternal banquet of God's eternal love and God's eternal compassion toward His people. May God bless His word, and these few thoughts, may they be an encouragement to our hearts this evening. We'll turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 400. 412. 412 in your hymn book. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice as it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. 412. May that be the prayer of our heart tonight, even as we get down to prayer, to be drawn closer to the Lord. 412 will stand as we sing. Well, we'll just get down to our season of prayer. Just a few prayer requests I want to just leave with you. Do please give thanks tonight for the mission and for the harvest meetings. We thank the Lord for many answers to prayer regarding these meetings and many visitors, and especially unsaved that were in under the sound of God's word. We think of all the outreach as well as the preaching. 2,000 invites going out to homes. Every one of them had a little gospel sermon. This is God's word, and God's word is incorruptible. Let us pray and let us give thanks to God for that time of blessing. Remember the services this weekend, Sunday school, Bible class, youth fellowship, the children's meetings. Do you also remember the Remembrance Night service coming up in a week or two's time? Pray much for that, that it'll be a night of blessing, that we'll know God's help in the meeting, the Lord's presence, and that even unsaved will come in, even those that maybe have had connections with the security forces, the armed forces in the past, and they'll come in with hearts to hear the word of God. Pray for that. Remember our missionaries as well, at home and abroad. Remember Colin and Noel and the mission there up in Bala in the Hinch. And do please pray, as we've mentioned, for the Consider Christ Outreach on Saturday and the meeting to follow on the Monday night. Remember the sick in your prayers as well, those connected with us. Do please pray for Sister Mrs. Nora Noble, who's ill at this time. Remember her in your prayers. And also our brother, Mr. David Fleming, as well, is ill. Remember him in your prayers and others connected with us that know the Lord's touch. And do please pray also for brother Dr. Lindsay Wilson, who's speaking to him today and who's really much to see him. So pray for him. He's been off now for 2 years. And also our brother John Irwin from Clohard Valley is ill at this time. Remember him in your prayers. And do please pray also for sister Mrs. Joan Moore. Joan lost her sister Vera yesterday. So do pray for Joan and the family at this time, that they'll know the Lord's comfort and the Lord's nearness at this time of bereavement. That's really all by way of announcements, just a few things to pray for. I'm not want to tie you to those things. Whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, as the Lord leads, let us pour out our hearts before the Lord and seek the Lord, one with another and one for another in the time that remains. So last minute.